It had nothing to do with where your status is in life, where you are, how far along you are in your journey, your career, what you've done, what you've accomplished. Mm. Just as gents, we are able to meet each other wherever we find each other and work together and collaborate. It's not the same for women. Women will firstly, and I'm going to use the word intentionally, will suss you out. They'll want to know, Khori, Portia, how tall is Portia? How short is Portia? How large is Portia? Right, hello and welcome to another edition of Rise Resilience. My name is William, last name Long. It's an absolutely special episode today. We are talking about navigating failures, how to come out of the other end of a duck tunnel and still live to tell your story, number one, and more importantly, to create an impact to those who are hearing your message of having gone through this dark tunnel, these tough times, these rough seas, if you will, but you still swam, you didn't drown, you didn't sink, and you came out on the other side. So our guest today, very, very inspirational young woman working with young people all over South Africa. She is a speaker, an MC, and an events manager as well. Portia Lehasa is our guest today on Rise Resilience. How are you, Portia?
Hello, I'm great. I'm excited. I'm happy to be here. Thank you so much for having me.
Listen, thank you so much for making the time. We appreciate that you are here and you are a guest today. Obviously, there's a lot that happens, right, in one's life. A lot of us wake up, we pray, we set the intention for the day. Mm-hmm. And, you know, sometimes things don't go the way we had planned.
Yeah.
And I could say the same thing as well for if you believe in New Year's resolutions. Right, you will set your intention for 2025. 2025, I'd like to do this, that, and the other thing, and have these, all of these things in place, and then life will happen.
It will happen
as it usually does. I think the most important thing is how you then rise through those challenges, and I think that's why we have you here as a guest today. And obviously, the overarching theme is how do you navigate those failures to come out on the other end and to continue your leadership journey and your purpose, as it were? So let's start perhaps by giving us your background.
Okay.
If you're happy to share, where are you in your journey right now and how did you get here?
Okay, so I'm still swimming. Let's just get that right.
But nice.
I think we're always going to be swimming, right?
Yes.
I think that's the beauty of life. I think you get up, you dust yourself, and you keep on running. We just keep on keeping on.
Right.
So, I would give you probably a whole paragraph of who I am. But my background, I'm Portia Lehasa. I'm from Bloemfontein, the Free State. I'm a woman that really loves other women, impacting women, influencing them. Founder of Levatoire, which is a woman hub where we just kind of put women in one room and we inspire them and we ignite them. So I'm a founder of Levatoire, and my background is in accounting.
Okay.
And I think that's where I actually faced my biggest failures in life. So we'll definitely get into that.
Okay.
I have a background in accounting, and then I'm a speaker. I love speaking, that's the gift that God gave me. And I'm like, God, I'm like, just give me a mic and I'll speak. Just give me a mic and I'll do whatever you need. Also, my biggest passion is singing. I'm a singer. I've been singing since I was a little girl. It's really just one of my passions and a way that I also get to heal people.
Yes.
I'm also a worship leader at my church. And yeah, that's all around a Portia. Just love people. I love people. My passion is people.
I love that. Let's talk about your love for women. We don't often find women working with other women in a space that is conducive of growth because we often hear, and this we do it really well as guys. Guys are able to work with each other. Mm-hmm. Like, we could meet each other in 2 minutes. I met Jack for 30 seconds and I knew that Jack and I are going a long way together.
Okay.
Right? And it had nothing to do with where your status is in life, where you are, how far along you are in your journey, your career, what you've done, what you've accomplished. Mm. Just as gents, we are able to meet each other wherever we find each other and work together and collaborate. It's not the same for women. Women will firstly, and I'm going to use the word intentionally, will suss you out. They'll want to know, Khori, Portia, how tall is Portia? How short is Portia? How large is Portia? You know, how, what's her punching weight?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
To use those terms as well. And you don't find a lot of women collaborating so easily and effortlessly. Why is that? with you guys? And I'm not asking you to speak for all women, obviously.
Yeah, I'm just, like,
just in your own journey, what have you found? Why is that?
You know, the thing is, I don't necessarily share the same sentiment, but I think it's because I've always been in these spaces where there's just women. So I was in a girls' school.
Okay.
From grade one to matric.
Okay.
And then I went to the University of the Free State, and then I was in a Damas course. So then I was like in a girls' residence as well.
Right.
So I've always had this passion for women, and I've seen women help each other and build each other. So I've really seen the other
side. Okay, so that's been your lived experience.
That's my lived experience, but I do know of the other side.
Yes.
And I think it's just like, you know, that like cat thing, like, who are you? Like, you know, we just like, I think, you know, they say like lions are territorial, but I think women are more territorial. Like, this is my space. This
Absolutely.
Is my hub.
Absolutely.
And I think it's just, it goes with like insecurity. Like if you don't know who you are, it doesn't matter what anybody else looks like or what they bring.
Right.
You're going to be threatened. And I think you guys are just chilled about stuff, like, because you guys are just, you know who you are. But women, I think it's something that we really struggle with, like insecurities, having a low self-esteem or self-image. So that, I think that's where it stems from. It's always about the root, guys. It's not about the symptoms.
Yes.
I think the root is like women, we're having that difficulty of finding who we actually are. And if you don't know that and you've not grounded in that, you will just look at everybody and be like, girl, who you is? What you doing here? This is my spot. So I think that's the root. You know?
And you haven't found the pull them down syndrome to be prevalent in the spaces that you are operating in from the perspective of other women. You found that women are just effortlessly, willingly wanting to collaborate.
Yeah, I've definitely seen it. So I am saying it's definitely there. But I think the places where I experienced it from a negative perspective was corporate.
Okay.
And it was literally that, whether I was in a space, because there was a season of my life when I was in IT. So you were in rooms where there was only like maybe two females in the room. And in those spaces, the people are very territorial. And it's like, girl, I'm not here to take your FM position. I'm not here to be CFO. I'm just the senior accountant. Chill.
Right.
But I experienced it more in corporate.
Because
in those spaces like IT or in finance where I've now worked, it was like we were limited. We were a handful. So you were special. So who's this new girl? Because I've always been the girl.
But wouldn't that be the impetus, if you will, to really drive that collaboration? The fact that there are so few of you in a space that's male dominated, in a space where it's only been made for so long. So the few of you in that room, in those spaces, should really, you know, gather together.
Unfortunately, I don't think in some cases it wasn't. It was more like you were a threat instead of sister. We are sisters. Let's get together. But it was more like, so I have unfortunately experienced it in corporate, and I just think it was just like they wanted to shine. They wanted to be the only female. They liked it.
And how did you deal with that?
Some cases I didn't deal.
Okay.
Some cases I just left.
Oh no. Are you serious?
Yeah, I mean, I'm just being honest. In some cases it was just, but it wasn't because of a person. It would be sometimes the whole industry.
Right.
And then in some cases, I'm a person that I really believe in. I don't like confrontation.
Okay.
But I'm a person that I believe in authenticity, and let me rather talk to you if I have an issue with you.
Okay.
So in some cases, like, people will be like, come and speak to me. Then you do. And then they start acting up now. And it's like, but I thought this is a safe space where I can be like, this is the issue I have with you. So I would actually just speak to the person and be like, listen, what's going on? Or but it would be also like a feeling of like, I mean, if we don't know what it is, we think it's jealousy, right? We're like, okay, the person is jealous. Because if you can't pinpoint, if it's not racism, it's like, it's jealousy. What is it? So you'll think, okay, it's jealousy. So I would, if possible, I would speak to the person. But obviously you can't really say, hey, you don't like me. We're here to do a job. So you can only take it up if it's like job orientated.
You're reminding me of those, I don't know if you've seen them, those Veronica little cartoons on TikTok and YouTube, right? So in this one episode, Veronica is sitting at her desk. Her manager comes to her and says, so we need to like talk about, apparently you're hard to work with. And her response is, who's saying that? And obviously, if you tell me who's saying that, then I can address it. She says, well, I'm not at liberty to say who's saying that, but you, apparently these people, or it has come to my knowledge, and this is the manager speaking, that you are difficult to work with. She's like, well, if you're not going to tell me who said that and why they said it, then I guess we don't have a problem.
Oh.
So keep it moving. And I guess that's the kind of energy women have to contend with or are confronted with on a daily basis. But you've come out on the other end of that, right? And you've even changed, should I say, careers from IT into finance and to now events management.
Events or academia as well.
Academia as well.
Yeah, I'm that girl that has her fingers in all the pies.
Do you find yourself singing at work for any reason?
Not like on a normal day.
Or do you keep it on a low down?
But sometimes when I start at a practice or something, I just don't tell people. And then if somebody goes on my page and they're like, oh, you sing. Or if they go to church and they see me on. Because I mean, I sing at church, so it's not like I can hide.
Oh.
But I generally don't sing. But I always, like if there's a year end event, then I tell, okay, guys, do you need someone to sing? I'm going to sing for you guys.
Oh my
And that's how
gosh.
Normally people find out. At the end of the day, they'll be like, you can sing. The accountant can sing. Yes, I'm an accountant that sings. What are you going to do?
The accountant can sing.
Yeah. So that's how it's always been. That's how it's always been. Yeah.
So how would you then define failure for you? And just in the last couple of years, what have you seen in your life that you would define as a failure or mm-hmm. a learning moment or a path? Or during your path in that moment, it was a time for you to learn something, hence the setback.
Yeah. Well, I heard somebody say the other day, like, you know, failure, it's only failure if you don't learn from it. It's
right.
only failure if you don't pick yourself up. But if you just fail and fail and fail, then it's really a failure. But if it's not, if you actually sit down and say, what did I learn from this?
Yes.
And how can I better myself? Then it's not failure. And I was like, oh, that's actually an interesting way of looking at it. So with me, like I said, I failed dismally in my accounting path because I tried to be a CA, a chartered accountant, and I failed my CTA, which is like our honors year, four times. Like,
are these like the actual exams that you flunked?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
What happened?
And the one year it was, I was literally sick. I had a seizure. So I even have a scar because I literally had a seizure at
okay.
the gym. So it was like health battles. And then
all right.
I think if I can explain, right, my background, I was like those overachievers. Like I was
right.
like provincial hockey, Soma, head
yes.
girl.
First with blackness, colors.
First, all those things. And it's like I had never experienced failure my whole life, guys. Like never. I had literally topped this. Even matric, got in, got bursaries. And then like at the end of my like year of
yeah.
my degree where I was like going to get my distinctions and I'm going to cum the degree, I failed. But you know why? Because I was prime. Prime was like head girl sort of like of the hostel.
Yes, yes.
And I was busy with the people, busy with pregnant girls and in my room. And so it's like, I didn't understand failure and I didn't know what to do. And it's like, I lost myself because I've always this like achiever because you obviously get addicted to being great
yes.
and being the first this and being the first black and you just keep going and it's who you are. And now when you fail, it's like, who am I? What happened?
Right.
Then my grandmother's like, what is witchcraft? Ah. And I'm like, no. Like, you know, and then I've been navigating that 7 years of famine since like I failed for the first time. And then, so then I actually went through the CTA, failing CTA four times. You're this top girl that got bursaries. You were a head girl. You were, now it's like, what's your life even?
Right.
Like, and I never ended up becoming a CA, you know?
But obviously that first instance was a health battle. As you say,
so
the other
year,
three,
yeah, the first time it happened, I just failed. I don't know, like I don't know if you guys know any CAs, but it is one of those.
Yes, it is a tough environment.
Know?
Yes,
and maybe it was just not for me. I don't know.
Okay,
but I failed, and like you know, you try to like point why, you try to like pinpoint. Did I not study enough? Was I just too happy to be the prime of the hostel and? I was in so many meetings and speaking and you try to figure out why, but
right.
you just can't put your finger to it. And you're like, okay, maybe it's a part of life. So that's what I'm saying. When I failed for the fourth time, that's when I was like, you know what, God, maybe this is my dream of being a CA, but I'm not an accountant. Like
yeah.
my personal, even when I meet people, they're like, are you an accountant? How?
Yeah.
And I'm like, I don't know. Like I was not supposed to study this thing. Like, I was supposed to go to the school of arts.
What's the typical personality trait of an accountant? Straight, non-communicative, quiet.
I just don't know, but you're just
like
sitting
a
at a
straight
table.
Line.
Yeah, you're just black and white. You're just sitting at the table, busy with numbers. And look Yo. At me, I can't. Like you're telling me to sit here from 8 to 5, not talk to anyone. There's no way.
It could never be your life.
Yeah. So I think did I even answer your question? But through failure, I think I never stopped. I never gave up on myself as a human being.
Right.
After that, because I didn't have anything else going for me. You know, I always tell people, if you're like a wife or you have a business, you don't feel like you're a failure. But I didn't. I was just a student for like almost 10 years. And when I now had to stop and I said, I'm saying goodbye to this dream and I'm closing the door. Then I'm like, what do I even have? Like, I'm not raising a family. I'm not. So I had to like start over and figure out who Portia, because I even lost myself in that. Because I had this fear of failure because I'd never failed before, you know. So that was also something that was crazy. And I had to navigate rebuilding Portia, the human being, like,
yes.
who has God said you are, girl? What are the gifts that you have? You're not a CA, okay, you don't have those four letters behind your name and surname, but first of all, somebody's son is going to give you a new surname, let's start there.
Yes.
And then, so it's like, it's fine, you know, in God's timing, and then you're going to do other things. And
yes.
at the end of the day, like, when you get to heaven, God's not going to be like, you are not a CA. So I just had to get over it and start to rebuild. So I'm in this rebuilding phase, and it's so difficult because it's like, who am I, Jesus? What am I even doing? So I just never gave up on myself.
And I love that. How important is that, Portia, for us to look at our lives from a bird's eye view, right? Mm-hmm. I love the analogy that you've just used, using God in the example as well, to say God is not going to care, Jorge, oh, you went to SEA. Mm-hmm. How important is that for us to have this bird's eye view of our life, to say, actually, there are things that really, really matter.
Yeah.
But most of the things that we prioritize as things that are defining aren't necessarily for the human experience, for the time that we're here, we are not necessarily going to be defined by those things. How important is that?
It's very important. I think I try so hard in everything that I do to always ask myself, is this impactful? Like, impact and influence are like what drive me. Because it's like, what's the point? Like, I unfortunately lost a friend a week ago. I was at the memorial and I realized people are just speaking about how she impacted their lives.
Mm.
It's not about she had this title or she made this much money. It was literally the moments and the shared moments. So we do have to look from that bird's eye, because at the end of the day, guys, we're all going down. We're all going to be eaten by the worms.
Yes.
Nobody's going to care after 3 weeks that you're actually gone. But what did you... It's the people that you did something for, that you impacted, that you made them, you gave them dignity. You helped them in their dream. They're going to remember that. So all the other things that we prioritize, it's like... every time you was asked, is it even going to be worth it? In 10 years' time, like, are my kids
going to
care?
Is this going to matter?
Yeah, they always say, like, in 10 years' time or 20 years' time, your kids are going to remember all the times that you were not there. They're not going to remember that you were part of the... you now closed the deal or you did this. They're going to care that you weren't there as a parent. But that's what really matters.
Right.
Right.
So now you rose, obviously, out of that accounting failure, right?
Yeah.
Pun intended. And you came out on the other side, right? Mm. You even course corrected. You changed direction.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Where are you now? Do you feel and where are you heading?
Yeah, I feel like I do have to tell my whole story, because so what happened was... Okay, I need to be very quick about this, but what happens is you can either take your first year of articles in a corporate, in a big four or whatever, or in an accounting firm, or you can do 1 year at university. So,
okay.
Like me, I was head girl, I was RCL my whole life, and I was teaching and speaking. So I was like, I'm going to do academic traineeship.
Right. You know?
Got in, got accepted for everything, and then I failed the exams at the end. Now, this is the fourth time when it was like, I'm done. And I had already gotten this position, the university knew, PwC knew, and I didn't make it. So what happened is a guy that was in another, degree type of, so there's CA, there's SIPA. So the SIPA I already had a BCom honors.
Okay.
So one of the academic trainees in that field decided to, their parents were like, no, you're going to practice.
Okay.
And then Portia is here, but she's now, we can't use her anymore because she didn't pass CTA. So there was like a vacancy. And then they called me and they're like, can you just come and do academic traineeship, because you can do it for SIPA. It's not SICA, but you can.
Yeah.
And then that's how I ended up being an academic trainee. And then a lecturer or somebody saw me. Then a position was created for me to be a lecturer. I was working with CAs and I wasn't a CA, because most of the lecturers.
Wow.
That's how I found this other passion of teaching. And well, I was like a mentor and a tutor in high school as well for like the great college boys and stuff like that. But it's like the failure caused me to now be a lecturer, which caused me to have my master's degree. And it's funny, I failed honors, but now I have a master's degree in accounting. That's just how crazy
that
life is.
That is weird.
Yeah.
How did that happen?
So I was...
Technically speaking.
I was now in academia at the university. So at the Northwest University in Porch.
Yeah.
I'm an academic trainee. They're like, okay, we're starting this new master's. You guys are trainees, so would you like to do the master's? So the university is going to pay. I'm like, okay. Because I'm a bookworm. I'm that girl. But at the same time, I'm like, I don't want to do this. Why am I doing a master's in accounting? Got this thing in Shapiro. I don't want to be in accounting anymore. I'm just going to stay at the varsity. And then I got into master's. Second year I had to pay, because it was actually a two-year course, but they wanted everything in 1 year.
Okay.
So I didn't finish the first year. Second year, I now am a lecturer and I'm continuing my master's. I finished my master's. Then COVID hits, guys.
Oh,
my life
my
is a movie.
Gosh.
My life is a movie.
This is 2020.
This is 2020. So I'm lecturing. Now we have to lecture online. I'm like, but I love my kids. I want to see my kids. And so I got to do my master's because I was in the university. I didn't.
Okay.
I've never thought about, oh, I want to do a master's or a PhD. But that's how, because I was in academia. In academia, they need you to have those, you know. So that's how I ended up doing it. And then.
That's actually a funny story if you think about it.
It's so crazy. But it's been painful, guys. It's so painful. I'm laughing now, but listen.
But I imagine in the moment you were going through
the most.
Yeah.
You know? And then after that, they're like, okay, you're not finished with your master's. We can't employ you permanently. So we can't renew your contract. So I'm like, I can't be an academic trainee. It's like being like,
yeah.
A t- you're, Then yeah, I'm not going to lecture anymore. So then I'm like, what am I going to do with my life? Jesus, because I'm not going to go back to PwC. I'm not going back into accounting. I'm not doing CA anymore. I'm done. Now I don't know what I'm doing with my life.
Okay.
Then a friend is like, listen, you've got such a cool personality. You need to be in change management, which is project management. And it's IT.
Right.
So I'm like, now I'm going to work for an IT company. So me, because shame, I'm a go-getter. I'm like, you know what, Jesus, I ain't got nothing to lose. I got no kids, got nothing. Let's pack up our bags and go to Gauteng province, exciting. And then that's how I got into IT and I did change management. So I was literally in projects, ERP implementations for like accounting systems, whatever. And I would work with the employees. I would train them. I would do reports.
Right.
Loved it. Yeah.
And which province is this that you don't love?
Gauteng, King. But I'm here. Gauteng, Maboneng.
How?
I never thought I'd end up here. But look,
you didn't like Joburg.
No, guys. This place.
What did we do to you?
It's just too finnach. It's fast. I'm from Bloemfontein.
Oh,
before
my
I start.
Gosh.
So I never thought I'd end up here, but it's okay. You know, life.
How was that adjustment for you? Was it easy?
That adjustment was
difficult. Was it a bit tricky?
It was a bit tricky, yes. But I literally, when I moved here, I got the craziest car accident. I'm also like a miracle sitting here. But then you're going to have to invite me back for that story. So, yeah, I had an accident and I freaked out and I couldn't drive anymore because I had PTSD. I couldn't drive on the highway. I couldn't drive at night.
Oh, no.
So there was moving to a new town. There was new job. There was new industry. There was.
Yeah, and traffic here is a lot different from Bloemfontein.
It was a lot. Or from Porsche, because I was in Porsche for 4 years as well. Porsche is like even smaller than, everything is 10 minutes away.
Yes, yes, yes.
It's smaller than Bloem.
Yeah.
So now it's like, it's life. It's changing of industries. It's. I'm living in Pretoria now, or Centurion. I need to drive. It was a lot.
Your.
So I struggled. It was quite a transition. It was PTSD. It was like mental health issues. But I'm still here.
And we appreciate that you are still here, because that's the reason why we have you as a guest, right? Obviously, if you have just joined us, our guest today is Portia Lehasa, who is an events management speaker, also a master's accountant, not working in accounting. If you missed the story, you need to go back. But
yeah.
She is teaching young people in the same field as well, which I imagine these young people are very impactful. How important is it, Portia, to have a support system when we are navigating failures? A lot of people, when we talk about the people who then fail, either by completely giving up or even unaliving themselves, I think that's the term they use these days, right? That's when you've completely, you've lost the battle, you've lost the war, you are defeated, right? But not you. And the reason why you and others have actually a story to tell is because there's a support system.
100%.
You're not doing this on your own. Yes, you're the one walking in this lived experience, but there are people around you. There are colleagues, there are friends, there are family members.
Yeah.
There are strangers, even in my instance, people that you don't know from a bar of soap, but they'll give you one pearl of wisdom and it will completely flip the coin and then course correct and you continue going. What was that for you?
That's very important. I think that's one of that string throughout the years was community.
Yeah.
And for me, you know, the two consistent things I've done over the years through failures, through health challenges was the gym, like literally being active physically.
Okay.
And number two was community, was support system.
Right.
So I'm very privileged. I'm from a family with a mother and a father. And I know that's not the case for a lot of people.
Yes.
But my parents are really there and they try because they also didn't know how to navigate this child that's now failing. They don't know. They really don't. Like our parents really don't know what to do and what to say.
Right.
And but it was community. And for me, the biggest part of my community was my church.
Okay.
Because I got born again at 17. So I've been in my church since I was 17.
Okay.
And every single city I've gone in, I was at my church. So I did community projects and just being in a church community, a Christian community, it helps you make friends. I mean, I'm still friends with people that I met in CRC Bloemfontein, the church that I was in.
Right.
Till now. So community is everything. I mean, some of my mentors, I've met them in the church.
Yeah.
Mentors from a business perspective, from a professional perspective, is through community. There's no way. Guys, we are not, a man is not an island. Why do they say that thing? But I can't live by myself. And I've struggled with that because I'm not a person that can easily ask for help.
Right.
But God has literally just put people in my life that will knock and knock and, are you okay? So there's no life without community. I'm Portia sitting here by myself and I'm going through the difficulties by myself. But like, as in like physically or the flesh, like if you're sick, you're sick by yourself. But I'm here because of the people that have carried me. My parents, my granddad prays for me every day.
Yes.
That's who, I'm who I am today because of community. We can't do this thing by ourselves. This life thing cannot be lived.
Of course, right? Then I then have to then ask you this, that resilience, does that come from mum and dad, grandparents as well?
Definitely. I have Yo, my family from both sides, they are so resilient. They've been through so much. And my mom's been sick, like, for about 3 years. Like, for basically as old as I am. And she was diagnosed with a crazy disease which we are living with. So I've seen someone every day have to fight through being sick. So I think, like, even with my master's and everything, I literally in the dissertation, I like, wrote about her. And I wrote about her on LinkedIn, and then there was, like, a whole article about it. But I said it's my mom because she even got her PhD in her 50s. She got her PhD at 58.
Incredible. That deserves a round of applause. Oh, my goodness.
So my family is amazing. So the resilience, I've seen it. I've seen resilience. I've seen fighting through sickness, fighting through failure. I have seen it in where I grew up, in my house.
Mm.
My grandmother's the same. Just a prayer warrior. Love my gran. Yeah. So I've seen it. I've seen it.
Now talk to me about the health battles. What were they exactly?
Yeah. So
you mentioned a seizure and you've got a scar. I don't see it, which means, what is it? That bio oil? plastic surgeon.
He just had miracle hands.
Worked miracles on you. What happened?
So, I mean, I think not everybody has health struggles. And, you know, sometimes you wonder, why me, God? What's happening? Is it a bloodline curse? And it's just been one of those things that with me, it's just been a struggle.
Okay.
Different seasons of my life.
Right.
And I think the biggest one was when I got the seizure when I was doing my CTA. And to date, they don't know what happened. There's no, like, actual epilepsy in my bloodline. That's, I think it's only like one distant cousin, but they still couldn't pinpoint what happened. So I just got a seizure and I fell on my head. So my face was kind of like busted open.
Really?
To get operated. And
I cannot see that.
I know. It's like, right, you need to be like very close, but it is a beautiful scar. So that's what happened. And I was still in varsity and I went back even after the lecturer said don't. I was just like, I'm here. And finishing this thing. So that was the biggest one.
Do you have any memory of that day? What actually happened? Or did the brain, because the brain is amazing that way. It is able to block things out that are traumatic from.
It does block out. I think, like, leading up to that, some of my friends did say I didn't look okay. I was pale. And I've always had, like, tremors. And it's never really been diagnosed as anything. So I think the tremors and everything was quite, like, significant.
Sure.
Building up to that day. But, you know, you have so much stress. CTA is so much stress. It's close to the exams and all that.
Yeah.
So I can't necessarily remember. For me, I was just living my life, studying like a crazy. Like, you study. With CTA, you just study.
Yes.
You
know,
you literally study, sleep, eat. That's it.
Okay.
So, I'm a gym person. So I was going to gym. And I thank God because I could have had that seizure while I'm driving.
Mm.
I could have decided not to go to the gym that day and stay in my room. And I would literally sit in my room for like hours. Sometimes my sister would have to bring me food because I even had to move back home because I lost my bursaries and stuff.
Right.
So I could have had the seizure and my sister, nobody would have found me after hours.
Yeah, you know? It could have gone horribly wrong.
So I was literally in a kickboxing class or something. There's this man, Ben is amazing. He's like, he works at Vision Active. Always loved his class. So I was in his class.
Yeah.
And then I had the seizure while I was gymming, which is also a miracle because I could have been anywhere else by myself.
Mm.
And then people saved me, stopped the bleeding, got rushed to hospital, et cetera, et cetera. So there was like a journey of that, going through anti-epileptic medication.
Right.
So this was years ago. And then, like, I had more struggles, migraines, got scoliosis on my back. So I literally live with backache, skewness. I'm just always in pain, you know, type of thing.
Okay.
So I live with that constantly. So this year, that's when it really got even worse because I got, like, there was just a day where I had mild paralysis on the right side of my body and I just couldn't move.
Wow.
Yeah. So when I tell you, like, this year has been crazy, I mean, they were like, they think it's a mild stroke. So I'm still dealing with that. Hence, I even had to stop, you know, working and